Father God, we're so grateful that we get to be one more time in your word with your people. Help us to have soft hearts and a gentle spirit as we contemplate these concepts that you're trying to teach us. I pray, Lord, that we can truly put to heart and to practice the truths that you've so gratefully, graciously shared with us. We're in awe that you chose to love us in spite of knowing us, that you chose to reveal yourself to us in so many ways, and help us, Lord Jesus, to enjoy your revelation today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So we're still in Ephesians. We're up to chapter 5 and verse 24, and the title for the message this week is In Everything. Now, I do have to apparently make a correction from last week. Kathy's laughing. I said that I was Native American. I'm native to America. Some people might see that as different. In my mind, I'm American, always have been, even before the state that we live in was part of America. My family was here. And we go back a number of generations. If you want to find a lot of dead Bittners, just go down to Spanaway, and they're in a cemetery down there. One of them looks like his name is Christ. Now, if none of you are related to Christ, then I feel for you. But it actually was pronounced Christ. And so one of the great uncles and grandpas there, and all kinds of, you know, just multiple generations of Bittners, some with different spelling. B-O-E-T-T-N-E-R and that sort of thing like that. So, I consider myself native to America, certainly a native Washingtonian, and this is where I call my home. I've been to 46 different states so far. Haven't found an ugly state yet. They're all beautiful. God has created such an awesome world, and yet I keep finding myself drawn back to this state with so much diversity. We've got everything from the ocean to the desert to the mountains to rivers and lakes, and if there's something you're looking for in this world and you can't find it in Washington State, you just need to travel a little bit more, because it really is a very, very diverse state, a very beautiful state. And so that's off topic, but I thought I better get that done before I made any more mistakes that can be corrected next week. I do appreciate people pointing out to me misconceptions and misunderstandings in my teaching, and I'm certainly not the final answer to anything. If you don't check what I say against Scripture, you're not doing your job. Okay. This week's text, we've been in this section about wives for, this is the third week now, and Ephesians 5:24, now as the church submits to Christ. Now, there's an interesting concept, because does that give us an out? Does that give wives an out? If we have to wait until it's just like the church is submitting to Christ? We don't always submit to Christ as a church, do we? We should. But as the church submits to Christ, so also wives in everything to their husbands. Again, that word submit the second time is not in the Greek. It's implied, and I don't think it's misinterpreted. I think it does belong there. With a true understanding of what submit means. But as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Submit, again, we've gone over this definition, but I think sometimes because of our cultural training and our biases that we grow up with, we kind of sometimes have to unlearn what we think we know. And submit doesn't mean somebody's in control, in authority, holding you down by the thumb and going to make you do what you have to do. Submit is something entirely different. In fact, it's a voluntary thing that we as individuals, we choose to submit. You can present something to a person or a body for consideration or judgment. You're submitting something to someone. You know, wives sometimes will submit a honey-do list to their husbands. That's a form of submission, isn't it, Larry? And then we as husbands get to determine what to do with that, because we're the person that gives that honey-do list consideration. Can I get these things done? Should I hire a professional? Should I just ignore it and hope that I don't get in trouble, you know, with my relationship? There's all kinds of ways that we can look at these things. But submission, okay, if I submit something to a professor, I've written a paper, I've taken a test, and I submit that for grading. And then you find out what happens with it. Submit is to voluntarily make yourself available for the benefit of others. If we submit to one another, and that's what verse 21 said, we're supposed to submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. So if we're submitting to one another, we're voluntarily making ourselves available to each other. And I've mentioned that my mom was excellent at this. She submitted herself to be available for us. Like if we would come home late, she was there to greet us. And most of the time with a smile and a prayer and a positive thing. But sometimes, you know, we as kids needed correction, rebuke, instruction, that sort of thing. She submitted herself to be there for us. I know that Michael, you have a family that submits themselves to you so that they're there for you, aren't they? They love you enough that they're going to take care of you. They'll be by your side. They'll help guide and direct. That's what submitting is all about, is we're placing ourselves in positions that's going to benefit those around us. Now, when the church, the body of Christ, is asked to submit to one another, how do we do that? How do we put ourselves in the position to love one another in such a way that we're actually building up the body and encouraging the body and not tearing things down? In the marriage relationship, it's still, verse 21 didn't disappear, submit to one another. So husbands are submitting to their wives, wives are submitting to their husbands, and this section that we're looking at is just talking about the wives, sort of, but it really isn't. It's talking about the whole body of Christ. It's talking about how all of us can get along better by making ourselves available for the benefit of others. Another definition of submit is to deploy yourself in a position of support to defend. It's kind of a military term. You're moving into a place for action. You're preparing yourself for what needs to be done. You can anticipate and recognize what needs to be done, and you're listening to the Lord, and you're trying to put yourself in a position, a place, where we prevent problems. Do our best to deploy yourself in a position of support to defend. Do we want to defend one another as believers? I hope so. It's kind of important. So going back 3 weeks and 2 weeks, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives, to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. That's last week's text. If you missed that, it's online. You can listen to it with the corrections. And then this week's text. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. I know sometimes when you put things in bold and make them bigger, it sounds like you're shouting at somebody. That's not the intent here. It's just for emphasis. And I want to talk a lot about this concept of in everything. Because if we're submitting in everything, what does that mean? How many of us kind of think in terms of, I've got my Christian life and then I've got my personal secular life? There's kind of boxes sometimes, and you know, if we're doing everything as unto the Lord, if we're doing everything for one another, we're not going to be living in these boxes where, well, this is my space, this is our space, and this is church space, and then you have all these different worlds that you're living in, and at one point you're trying to, I think that's why Paul said, you know, if you're single and you've been called to be single and the Lord's not pushing you to get married and you're not like burning with lust or something, stay single, because then you can focus on one thing. You can focus on serving Christ. So having divided focus, I think, sometimes is a concern. And so as married couples, we are there for one another. We're also for Christ. We're also for the whole church. So sometimes your focus can get divided. But not if we understand the in everything concept. And I'm going to try to go through some of the in everything passages of Scripture as we work through today's message. This is part of the announcements. Thank you, Susie, for reading this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You notice this word completely kind of matches the theme in everything. Paul, oftentimes, as he's writing, and in other authors in Scripture as well, they go to the superlative. You can have the comparative. If there's two people, you look at two people and you compare which one's taller, me or her, you know, whatever. You can look at a group of people, which one's taller among all of us. Okay? And then you can have this inclusive superlative, like everything, completely, always. And I think that's what we see in Scripture a lot of times. It's like there's no wiggle room. Everything's covered in a word completely. Everything's covered in a word everything. Be completely humble. Don't just be a little bit humble. Don't be humble enough that, you know, you still have an out to yeah, I'm really humble. I'm probably the most humble man in the entire world, you know. Like, wait. By the way, that's a weird thing that one of the authors in Scripture wrote, who, for bonus points, he wrote that he's the humblest person. Anybody remember? You probably know, right, Kat? It was in one of the first five books. Is that a good enough hint?
Moses.
Moses writes somehow he's the most humble person in the world. And it's like, okay, but how can you say that without being... Okay, that's another aside. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And all of Scripture keeps talking about, especially as we look through Ephesians, but all of Scripture keeps talking about the one another's. How do we care for each other in everything? Be completely humble. I hoped to do the song from the Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn. Most of you can have that in your head just by me saying it. There is a season. Okay. So, and I copied it onto my computer that didn't put it on the disc that I brought over to the church, so it's not here today, but you can think that through in your mind. And as you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And then he lists a whole bunch of things. You can find them in the song. You can find them in Scripture. And then he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He's placed eternity in your hearts. Do you know that God takes all things and works them together for good? Everything. Even the stuff that we don't like. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I've announced two different deaths of people that were connected to this church. And I know that works for good. But it doesn't feel good at the time. But he makes everything beautiful in its time. And I know that you know, if you're waiting to meet Jesus and be face to face with him and enjoy that beautiful banquet where we can actually forget about social distancing, physical distancing, we can hug and embrace and sing and laugh and just have a great time together, and there'll be no sickness and there'll be no sin. And I long for that. And it'll happen in its time. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, do everything in love. So, if wives are supposed to be in everything submitting to their husbands, it's just a matter of, yeah, do it in love. By the way, husbands, submit to your wives in love. 1 Thessalonians, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Okay, so there is such a thing as correction and instruction in Scripture, right? Warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Sometimes people are just being a pain in the rear, okay? That's the first category there. But sometimes people are just, they're broken, they're disheartened. They hurt. And there's instruction for what we can do with all of them. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Sometimes it's hard to tell who the weak are, right? I know growing up in the Baptist church, it's like, okay, we were supposed to set an example for the weaker brother. Well, that implied that we somehow were better than them. But wait, maybe they were stronger in some other areas, and at some points I'm the weaker brother, and sometimes you're the weaker brother, and you know, It's like this, be completely humble. I can't go around assuming that I'm the strong one and I've got it right and my brother's got it wrong. But I think that's doctrinally how we were raised, and oftentimes, you know, in religious Christian worlds, it's like there's an assumption that you got all the correct doctrine. In the scientific world, you can kind of have the same thing where there's differing opinions in science and one group decides that they're the right group and the other group decides they're the right group. And rather than trying to look at it and work things out and find a proper synthesis, you end up with conflict. That's kind of part of the problem is human nature. Be patient with everyone. Be patient with me. Continuing on, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. And I think, again, that's why would Paul have to put this in there? There's a temptation for us when somebody wrongs us. Well, I'm going to show them. Yeah. We feel that way, don't we? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Think about the consequences of your words and your deeds, your actions, your thoughts. How do we put others first? How do we take care of everyone else's needs? It's not by paying back wrong for wrong. In fact, there's a pretty good plan for that in Scripture. God says that He's the one that can take vengeance. He's better at it than we are. He knows how to do it right, and He also knows how to do it with grace and love if people are willing. He wants to bring them back to completion. As we pray for our enemies, hopefully our prayer isn't that, you know, God will smite them, although that's some days that's the best I can do. Okay? So I go to God and I say, Lord, you know this guy and or this gal, you know what they've done, and could you just deal with them harshly, please? And God says, yeah, okay, do you want me to deal with you the same way? Well, maybe not. But could you deal with them that way? I want grace and mercy. I want justice for them. And God says, you know, I love them as much as I love you. And if they're willing to turn, if they're willing to come back to me. Think about Nineveh. When Jonah goes and he preaches the word, and they actually listened and repented. And what did God do? It's like, okay, I'm not going to destroy you now. And of course, Jonah's like, oh, see, I told you, God, you'd be so nice to them. I wanted you to kill them all because I don't like them because I'm prejudiced. We got to keep giving things back to God. And we got to do things in such a way that we're not the ones trying to pay back for wrong. In fact, God will do it so much better. And He's going to make all things right. And if there's somebody in your mind, in your life, in your experience that has wronged you in such a way that you believe that they deserve judgment, leave that up to God and let God deal with the time and the place and the how, and he'll deal with it. I trust Him on that. Continue on. Rejoice always. We keep saying these big words. Everything, completely, always. Pray continually. King James Version, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. You're continually in prayer. Your life is prayer. As we walk and talk and think and include God in our thoughts. Prayer is communication with God. Lots of different types of prayers. One of them is thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances. So even when things aren't going the way you want them to, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Why would we do that? Well, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28, I mentioned this just briefly already. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, God's going to work things out for good. God can take all the ingredients in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and He can turn them into something beautiful in His time. He's going to make it work. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, What does that include, by the way? Everything. It's another one of those words that didn't leave anything out. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. For in Him, in the Son, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Is anything left out there? All things have been created through Him and for Him. If we're going to think about, okay, wives, in everything submit. In everything submit to your husbands. In everything deploy yourself so that your husbands are going to be protected and cared for and defended. Why would we do that? Well, it's because God created everything. There isn't this category of stuff that God isn't involved in. God is involved in everything because He created all things. And He has all authority. And if we recognize that the Creator, the Sustainer, the Maker of all things also has all authority, so everything we do, it's kind of like we're under His authority. We're submitting to God as we submit to one another. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Then we go to the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, right? Through Him, through the Word, the Son, as it points out by the time you get to verse 14 of John chapter 1, through the Son, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. He made everything. So in everything, we're submitting. 1 Corinthians 8. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Now, if you don't understand the Trinity, that can be a confusing verse. Father and Christ Jesus, they're one. And that's who we live through. So if we're living through the Father in all things, if we're living through Jesus in all things, then in everything we'll be submitting to one another. Just kind of a natural outflowing of Holy Spirit as He works in and through us. Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. So, I guess, since He created everything and He's sustaining everything and He sees all things, He's kind of going to be a part of whatever decisions we make. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. 1 Corinthians 14, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. For those of you raised with King James Version, do all things decently and in order. There's an order. And this is like 1 Corinthians 14 is kind of the end of a three-chapter section that's been talking about how the church in Corinth had been abusing the gifts that God gave them and misusing them. And it's like, you know, these are all good gifts. And we can even take good things and turn them into something bad and do things the wrong way with good that God's given us. God gifts us with things and we misuse, misappropriate. Everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. In Matthew 13, Jesus is doing some parables, and one of them, He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Are we all in for Jesus? Are we recognizing the beauty of salvation, that it really is, it's all-encompassing? If we're not willing to give our all, are we really in it? And then in the marriage relationship, If husbands and wives really aren't committed to one another in a complete way, are we willing to give up everything else in order to place ourselves, deploy ourselves in a position to defend one another? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and he bought it. How many of us have a whole bunch of stuff, and if we could find a way to take all that stuff and get something really precious, would you be willing to do that? Well, you have to really believe that that thing is precious before you start shedding all the other stuff. Philippians chapter 4. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. This is Apostle Paul talking. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. This is the secret that he's learned. I can do all things. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Thinking about marriage relationship again, it's like, okay, how could Kathy possibly want to submit herself to somebody like me? That there's no logical reason. And she's going to need some strength to do that. Why would she want to? Well, because in everything, God's in it. And so, I can become a better person. I have become a better person because of the relationship, the willingness she's had to put up with me. During our marriage relationship, we've had times of hunger and being well fed. Obviously, right now, we're in one of those well fed times. Having plenty or in want. God always gives us everything we need. Even when you're in want, the secret is, it's like, okay, but I've still got God. And I can do all things through him who gives me strength. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, I'm probably going to spend more weeks on husbands than I did on wives. We have thicker heads and more to learn, so.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm grateful for this short passage, putting those verses together, starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That's setting the stage for what the husbands are going to be expected to do, which is actually quite a bit more. But verse 21 really set the stage for this whole section when we talk about children and parents and servants or slaves and masters or employers. All of this has got to do with verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If we can do that, the rest of these things fall into place. We don't feel abused or misused. And I never want anybody to think that the church is telling individuals to stay in a relationship where there's abuse. If you're being abused, get help. Hopefully the church is a safe place you can talk to people that you know in the body of Christ that you can trust to help you through something like that. If you're the abuser, you need help. If you're being abused, you need help. You don't need judgment, you need help. Sometimes a judgment will have to come if there's not repentance, but there's no reason that we can't have a safe environment where we can really truly submit to one another in such a way that there is accountability and that there's growth and that there's change. Healthy relationships it's a lot easier to submit. And so I think that's part of why in this verse it says, as the church submits to Christ. Well, in a healthy church submits to the will of God. A healthy church submits to all the precepts in Scripture. A healthy church is going to be trying to be doers of the word and not just learning a lot so that they can use the word to beat each other up. I've seen both. Submitting, it is relatively easy when there's mutual submission. There's mutual love. There's respect, and there's encouraging going on. When there's abuse, that's a different world and needs to be dealt with. And I don't mean in a harsh and mean way at all. I think, you know, in Scripture, if you look at correction, if you look at any kind of discipline, it's always with the intent of drawing people back to relationship, drawing people back into fullness of relationship with God and making things right. So, thank you, Jesus. Now, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.